And this year, we only got 41 more times to gather. In this whole rest of this year, we only got 41 more times. This is the 11th time that we've gathered. And so we're here this morning on the 11th time. It's the 72nd day of the year. Just so you know, if you do the math, about 20% of the year is in the books. About 20%. We only have 80% of this year left. We only got really like half of this day, right? And we got robbed an hour already. I'll tell you what, my brain doesn't know what to do when you mess with an hour. You know, it's amazing how maybe rigid I get, but it's like, what is going on? I look at the clock, and I look at the clock this morning, and it said 5 o'clock, 5:02, and all of a sudden I hear Cheryl say from the darkness, do you realize that's 6:02? Because we hadn't turned the clock back yet. And I thought I woke up this morning, God speaking to me. I expected this deep voice, but it sounded like Cheryl. It really did. This morning, it's 6:02. Oh, you know, I want to get moving this morning. So I've already messed up this morning with an hour gone out of my March 13th. March 13th should launch some kind of protest. It gets robbed an hour. March the 13th, half the day's over. We've given up an hour already. We didn't even get to spend it. But half the day remains. I don't know what time it is, but it's got to be pushing right around noonish. Probably not, but 11:30-ish. By the time you get out of here, just so you know, you're going to be half the day is going to be gone. Now, I'll try not to push it too far so you know a larger percentage, like 55% of the day is gone. I'm shooting for that. Only half the day is gone when you leave this building. But what are you going to do with the half a day that's left? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that half a day? And that was my question all week. And I want us, before we make that decision, I would like us to know some things about this day. And this day we know from Psalm 118, verse 24, says this. This is a day that the Lord has made. Right? You hear that. And often, even in a funeral, we'll hear that. And this day, even though this day, the roughness of this day, it's still a day. This is a day that the Lord has made. And I know that Psalm 118 is particular to the coming of Christ, but I think it spreads out to every day. When God said, let there be days, I think there was all the days were created at one voice of God. On the final day, he said, oh, let there be millions of days. And every day he created back at creation. I don't think he's creating the days as we go. I think they're here, and we get to be in this day that God has created. So this is the day that the Lord has made. Yahweh Adonai has made. And if the Lord has made something, there's got to be a reason he made the day. Because unlike some of the things I make in my shop, is like, I made this for the scrap bin. You know, I just could have sent it over here. It's great kindling. Oh, that's beautiful kindling. But God doesn't do that. Everything he makes for a high purpose. And this, the passage says, let us rejoice. You know what that means? Unusual cheer. It's amped up. It's this abnormal. We should have some sort of abnormal feeling. That's the same. It's just another day. It's not another day. It's a day that the Lord has made. And it's not because it is Sunday. He made every day. Tomorrow when you wake up, you should go, woo! It's another day. Instead of, oh, I told the group out there at Beaver Falls, I said, we need a little less Eeyore and a little more Tigger. We got just enough Eeyore. I feel bad for Eeyore. I pray for Eeyore. You know, I would feel bad if I had my tail nailed on too. But you know what? We need a little more Tigger because this is a day that the Lord has made. Woo! Let us be abnormally cheerful. Now, you may have to wait a minute, give me until about 10 o'clock tonight, then I can be abnormally cheerful. Don't do that in the morning. I wake up abnormally cheerful. I've survived 39 years with someone who does not necessarily wake up abnormally cheerful. But I'm telling you, she finishes way more cheerful than I do. I'm like, I'm rolling into the bedroom, and she's like, "Oh!" I said, "Honey, it's like 9:45. Woo!" And I'm dead. Just to be honest with this, if you're going to call me for advice after 10, call Cheryl. I am not a good advice giver after 10. I will do my best. But this is a day that the Lord has made. It should be abnormally cheerful of this day. And be glad in it. And be glad in it. Know what the word glad? Be brightened up. Woo! It should be good. This is a good day. This is a good day. So you got half a day left. You got robbed an hour. But you got half a day left. What are you going to do inside of this day? What are you going to do with this day? This is not just your every ordinary day. As a matter of fact, there is no ordinary days. They're all days that the Lord has made. But look what he says in Lamentations, just so before we make any decision what you're going to do today. Look what he says. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Just so you know, Jeremiah's having a bad day. You okay? 1 through 21, it's very oppressive language. And then all of a sudden he says, "Whoa, wait a minute, I'm not dead! This hasn't killed me. Because of God's great love, we are not consumed. I am still here. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Just so you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. Just so you know, his compassions, plural. You know what compassions mean? The abundant expressions of his love. That's what that word means. The abundant expressions of God's love. They're new every morning. It's like Christmas. Whoo! Did you ever wake up and say, "Man, I can't wait to unwrap what God's got for me in this day"? Because this is the day that he has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, his compassions, his expressions of his abundant love, his abundant expressions of his love are new on this day, a new gift. What are you going to do with the rest of this day? And if you're like me, you're going to sleep away about another 2 hours or so because you're going to go to bed probably 10 o'clock. If you're like some, you're going to go to bed about 8:30, right? I mean, that's just the way it is, right? So you have less time, man. What are you going to do with this day that God says, "I want you to be extraordinary, cheerful. I want you to be brightened up. I want you to know that this day is full of my expressions of love"? So I ask this question. So if this day was created by God, and if God's compassions are new on this day, what are you going to do with it? Now you can say, "I don't believe you." Okay, it's your right to be wrong. Now, and there are other things that you disagree with me on, and I'm wrong. But I ain't wrong on this one. Because this is a day that God created, and this day is full of his expressions, his abundant expressions of love. So what are you going to do with this day? That was a question I wrestled with this week. What am I going to do with this day, God? What are you going to do with this day? And so I started to ponder that. God, what am I going to do with this day? And all of a sudden, for some reason, and there's a lot of for some reasons in my life, all of a sudden I'm looking at the national benefit day, or the national day. It's the national day of this, or it's the national day of that. And I found it very interesting. The list, you know what today is the national day of? There's seven things. Seven things. There's seven things. This is the national Good Samaritan Day. Do you know that? Do you know it's the National Blame Someone Else Day? Do you know it's the National Canine Veterans Day? Do you know it's the National Jewel Day? Do you know it's the National Open an Umbrella Indoor Days? Do you know that it's a National Coconut Tort Day? And do you know that it's a National Earmuff Day? Now, granted, we need it today. Do you know that today, and I found it interesting, and I said, God, that's cool stuff. And as he continued to mull and to challenge me, what are you going to do on this day? What are you going to do on the day when you're lacking an hour? What are you going to do with the day when you're robbed an hour? It's still a day that I have made, and my abundant expressions of love are still real in this day. And I began to ponder that list. I just want to have a little fun this morning. Because I began to ponder that list and say, God, can you talk to me through some crazy national day of something? You know, I was kind of wishing it would be National Eating Donut Day. Because I was going to bring donuts for everybody. But, you know, and National Bubblegum Day. I have bubblegum. You know, it would be something that, and I just started to process, God, I want to do something on this day. And he said, how about the National Good Samaritan Day? So let me just throw seven ideas. You know the only thing that ties us together? It's not like, man, he talked about seven different sermons. You got the right. That's right. The only thing that ties these seven things together is that they're on March 13th. And I'm just wondering if this might be something you could do today. It is National Good Samaritan Day. Because, see, I could go off on the whole sermon on that. That would be very easy, right? I could preach on that for several days, perhaps. But God said, I don't want you to stop there. And you're just going to have to trust me that God said, don't stop there. It's the national this day. It's national. Does God set this up? Is this biblical? No! For crying out loud, Coconut Tort Day? That's not even Leviticus. It's just not there. There is no National Coconut Tort Day. But I just wonder, if one of these seven things might be something that you would want to do today. And invest your day, this day that God has made, this day that is abundant, the abundance of his love are poured out on you. Maybe this would be, so just let me give me short seven sermons here. Just seven things, maybe. And I found it interesting that there was seven, perfect number, yada, yada, yada. So here we go. Maybe you want to celebrate the National Good Samaritan Day. That's what you're going to do with your day. You're going to celebrate. You're waiting until I get to the Coconut Tort Day. You're not even paying attention. You're just looking forward to the Coconut Tort Day. You got to pay attention. That's down the list. Because you might want to take a hold of National Good Samaritan Day. So what do you want to do? This is an idea. And we know that the story is in Luke 10. We know that there was a man who was stripped down and beat up. We know that there was a man who was left for half dead. And we know that there was the priest come along and the Levite come along. Do you ever notice that there's not a priest-Levite day in this story? It's just not, that's not a good day. We have enough of those days already. It's a Good Samaritan Day because the Good Samaritan, but, see, that's the transition. But there was two people that walked by this guy and they didn't do anything. Two people that should have done something didn't do anything. But a Samaritan come by. A Samaritan come by. As he traveled, he came to where the man was. And when he saw him, or become aware of his condition. It's not just seeing him at a distance. He was close enough to know that the man was in trouble. It's the same wordage as the Levite and the priest. Everybody knew that this guy needed something. Everybody knew. And two-thirds of the people chose to walk by this guy, but the Good Samaritan didn't. And then we know that Jesus is telling the story here of who's my neighbor. This is the neighbor. Just so you know, they're both neighbors. The Samaritan and the guy beat up are both neighbors. Which one was neighbor? Both of them. This is talking about neighborness. And he said he became aware that this guy was in need. He took pity on him, or he had strong compassion on him, and he moved toward the guy, motivated by his strong compassion. It's labeled as pity. He was moved into this guy's closer and closer and closer to this guy. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put his man on his own F-150 and he took him to the inn. A And Jesus says, making the point, that's a neighbor. That's a neighbor who has their eyes open, that when God shows them someone that's in need, that will not just pass by on the other side, but that will move closer to them and will take their own supply of something, his own donkey, his own oil, his own wine, his own bandages, his own money. And he used it for the betterment of this person that was in need. Today's National Good Samaritan Day. You may want to spend part of your day or some of your day letting God move you, letting God see, give you eyes to see those that might be in need, and letting him touch you. So maybe this is what you're going to ask. God, I know I only have 12 hours left in this day. I know that half of my day is gone. But Lord, help me see the one that you want me to touch today. I'm going to say, there's at times in my life when I don't even dare ask that, because I know he'll do it. So do you have the wherewithal? Please don't think this is easy. But maybe this day, remember this day that the Lord has created, and this day that his abundance, expressions of his love is pouring out on you. And he wants to give you eyes to see someone else in need. And we're tempted to be a priest or a Levite to walk by on the other side of this dude. He said, oh man, I need more neighbors. I need more neighbors. So on this March 13th, 2022, in the next 600 hours that you're going to be, 600 minutes that you're going to be awake, would you ask God that? God, I want to do that. Maybe that's a way you can spend a portion of your day. But then you know, a good way, if you say, God, show me someone in need, and then you just lock yourself in a closet, that's probably not a good thing to do. Because he might just send you a text. Because I think God's going to answer this. Will you spend part of your March 13th asking God for this? Because as Scott said at men's group, it's just a normal day until it's not. That's a powerful statement. I got to get moving, because you already know that I'm only 1/7 of the way through the message. And you're still waiting for coconut tort day. I found it very interesting what a tort is. I'm a culinary genius now. It's National Blame Someone Else Day. Perhaps it's not the best way to spend your day. Let's look at the first time anybody blamed anybody else for something. And God says, Adam, where are you? Woo, Adam! I've come to meet with you in this garden for a few days now, and you've always been here. Where are you, Adam? And from the bushes, Adam says, I heard you call, but I was naked. God said, who told you you were naked? Ooh. And God said, did you eat from that tree? And look what Adam says. The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate it. It's her fault. Don't you find that interesting? And then so God walks over to Eve, so to speak. And then the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent gave me something to eat. And so God walks over to the serpent. You know what I find interesting? That probably Adam thought he was off the hook. And Eve thought she was off the hook. Woo-hoo! Gonna nail that serpent. Give it to him, God. Give it to him. It's his fault. Woo! Make him crawl on his belly. Woo! That's going to be good stuff, God. Oh, I can't wait to see him do that. And God judges and brings judgment on the serpent, and then he steps back to Eve, and he steps back to Adam. Just so you know, you're going to waste the day by blaming someone else. And I'm sure that God did not create this day so that you and I could waste it by blaming someone else. Do not waste this day by blaming someone else. People can have a great impact on us, and the result of the impact can be we can be left wounded. But continuing to blame someone else will only delay your own healing. Are you with me this morning? I just stepped from kind of having fun to really serious. The more you're going to blame someone else, the longer you're going to experience unhealing or not a healing from God. You know what? Your ex was whatever, fill in the blank. You know what? Your mom and dad did this. You know what? That was happening. You know what? The foster care. You know what? All that was true. All that was true. All that was true. There's a lot of things that have penetrated our hearts and our soul. It's just let me be dead serious. It's time to stop blaming them. Because when we continue to blame them, we're going to rob ourselves from the healing that God wants us to have. So maybe today is a day to stop and experience a healing. Continuing to blame someone else will only delay your own healing touch. Stop blaming someone else. Maybe you want to spend some of the day saying this: Lord, not sure whose fault this is, and it really doesn't matter. I need a touch of healing from you. Is that you this morning? I'm going to change it from a national blame someone else day to a national healing touch from God day. Amen. Because he's always working. Even when you can't see it, he's working. Even when you can't feel it, he's working. Why? Because he's always working. Asking the Lord for a healing touch this day. It's the National K-9 Veteran Day. Here's the third sermon of the series. I found this very interesting. Just so you know, there's 2,700 military dogs in service right today. You know, there's 500,000 service dogs in the United States coming alongside of someone to make their day easier. Do you know that there's 50,000 therapy dogs in action right now in this world? Do you know that there's 78 million dogs that have infiltrated our lives and they're so special to us? 78 million dogs in this world. For the benefit of my family so I don't get beat up, 59 million cats. 59 million cats that greet you at the door, or at least think they're a king and you greet them at the door. And I found it very interesting as I just pondered this, how God uses his creation to enrich our environment. How much he blesses us through his creation. Do you know that those 2,700 military dogs, what they do to keep people out of harm's way? Do you know what those 500,000 animals do to serve mankind every day? Do you know those 50,000 dogs that run around nursing homes? The one nursing home that I had to draw blood from had one. That dog would not give me the time of day. But I would watch it right over to the old person in a wheelchair, kind of bent over, and all of a sudden the dog is pushing on his hand, and all of a sudden their hand is on the dog, and all of a sudden they start stroking, all of a sudden they begin to smile. That dog was being used by God to breathe hope into that person. God does that. God uses the creation. Look what he does in 1 Kings. And Elijah, this is a story about Elijah. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I will order the ravens to bring food to you there. Talk about DoorDash. We think we got something new. God said, I've been using birds for that for years. Look at the next verse. So he did what the Lord, that's always a good statement. So he did what the Lord told him. That's that you'll never go wrong doing what the Lord tells you. He went to the Kereth Ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. I'm telling us right now, God takes care of us, and he blesses us with the creation that we are standing in the middle of. And I do believe that we need to take care of our creation because it's a gift from God, and he uses it every single day. And to be, just let me have a moment of confession. That when I drove home from prayer on Friday morning from here, I missed what the sunrise was doing because I was looking at what the gas price was. That's a bad way to spend your day. And God has put me in this creation. God has taken care of me and taken care of you in the middle of this creation. So maybe this day you can spend the time, just a little bit of time, asking the Lord to do this. Lord, thank you for placing me in the middle of your creation. Just so you know, pet your dog. Don't kick him when you get home. Amen. Go find your cats and just say, God, I'm thankful for this animal that brings life into our home. Thank your dog that's chewed up something, your couch cushion, when you get home. But thank God for just stand out this morning and say, God, thank you. Stand out this day. Just take a moment and look at the beauty of what surrounds us. For crying out loud, I need to get my eyes off the gas prices and onto what God has done. Amen. Maybe I'll spend time this day doing that. It's National Jewel Day. You know what that means? Clothed and extravagant and expensive. So I wear jeans and flannel today. This is the best I got for extravagant and expensive. But you were supposed to bling up today. That's National Jewel Day. Bling up today. Yeah, grab all your jewelry and kind of wear it. And I have every piece of jewelry I own I have on right now. Grab it and put it on. Bling, you're supposed to bling. Jewel Day is to bling it up. Be dressed in some sort of bling. And so I said, God, I don't have any bling. He said, oh, son, you got to be kidding me. What do you mean you have no bling? Have you been to the closet called Colossians lately? Can you open up that? And therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved by God, open up the closet and clothe yourself with compassion. I'm talking heavenly bling. Amen. Clothe yourself with compassion, and clothe yourself with kindness, and clothe yourself with humility, and clothe yourself with gentleness, and clothe yourself with patience. Push the button just for a minute. Compassion, a tender heart. Clothe yourself with a tender heart. Clothe yourself with goodwill action. Clothe yourself with a healthy personal awareness and relationship to you and God and you and others. And clothe yourself with a gracious manner. Clothe yourself with a steady endurance. Can you imagine if we all go out of here dressed in that bling today? Can you imagine the difference that our world will experience? If just everybody, just on March 13th, for the last half of the day, dressed like that. Whoo! This world would not be the same. 12 hours would alter this world for all of eternity. Jewel it up today. Bling it up today. Maybe you want to say this, Lord, today I want to clean out my closet because I'm tired of wearing oh, bother clothes. I'm tired of wearing, gas is going to $5. Just let me ease your mind. It is. Stop worrying about it. Go to the closet and say, God, I'm cleaning out closet today because I'm going to bling it up today. I'm going to have some heavenly bling today. Today is also National Open the Umbrella Indoors Day. I learned this as a kid. My grandmother loved me beyond, I might have been her favorite, and if my cousins are watching this, you just got to deal with it. Because I think that, but I would like a nickel for every time my grandmother said, I'm going to pull your arms off and beat you with the bloody stumps. That was my grandmother. I was her favorite grandchild, and she's told me that. I think I had pushed it too far. But I remember walking into her house and just putting it up on an umbrella, and she didn't like that. And then we got the kind of the superstitious thing, you're going to release bad luck. That's what that means. Again, that's not in here. That's out there somewhere. But when you open an umbrella, it's going to rain now. You release bad luck. So maybe today is, and this is what this is. This is what this is geared for. You study this day, it's to deal with irrational fear in Fear Day. Can you just start dealing with the fear? Say today, I'm going to start dealing with the fear that's in my life. Fear is no longer going to be controlling me. Fear will not make me walk forward. Fear will not be able to get in my mind. I'm going to do something about the fear that I have. And I'm going to start March 13th, 2022. I'm going to start with this with God, and I'm going to say, no, God, I am not going to stand here in fear anymore. I'm not going to stand in fear what I have or don't have. I'm not going to stand in fear anymore. Look at Deuteronomy 31:8 says, it says this, the Lord himself goes before you, and you will and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Whatever fears try to inundate itself or plant itself or be this leech or this tick into your soul, this parasite into your soul, no, say today, no, I am not going to let it. Maybe you're going to tell God this. Lord, today I received the D31:8 truth. Today, God, I don't even know what all that means, God. And I could preach on that for a while too. But just today, I don't even know what it means all. And I just need to stand before God and say, I'm going to receive the truth. It's Deuteronomy 31:8. Here I am, God. I'm going to receive that truth. I'm going to receive a D31:8 truth. Just tell him. I'm going to receive a D31:8 truth. I'm going to spend the other half of this day, and I am not going to spend it running from fear. I'm going to spending it asking God to fill me with D31:8 truth. There's a lot you can be fearful in this world, but your God reigns. That your God is breathing. Your God has not left you nor forsake you. This is a day that God has created, and his abundance of his love is being poured out on this day. It's not so you and I can be in fear of what is ahead of us in this day or what's trying to inundate us right now and push in on our soul. God, I will receive. I'm going to say this out loud, and I'm not just repeating it for the sermon. I'm going to receive the D31:8 truth today, God. I think I'm going to have a shirt made with that just so I can talk to people about that verse. Just says, receive the D31:8 truth today. Because our world is scared. Amen. Our world is scared. Guess what else it is? It's Coconut Tort Day. And I'm sure people in this room would know what a tort is. I had no idea what a tort was. I'm a little bit. I can eat coconut, but I'm not a huge coconut fan. And if you mix it up with a tort, I didn't even know what that was. But you know what a tort is? It's just layer after layer after layer after layer of like a cake. Multiple layers. One on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. And then you know what happens? They cover it all over with icing. So when you cut down through the tort or cut down through the cake, it looks like all one thing, but it's really multiple layers all in that one thing. You know what that reminds me of? My life. That my life is so many layers, and some of them are easy and some of them are hard. And some of them are I'm looking forward to, and some of them are bitter, and some of them are sweet. Look at what he says. Look at Solomon says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven. And then he goes and starts making a list. And there's a time to be born and a time to die. And just so you know, you're going to be in one of those layers of life. Not you personally. We're all going to get there someday. But right now, some of you are there because someone else's time was to die. And now your time to live, and you're trying to deal with the death. And it's all in this layer of life. And a time to plant, and a time to uproot, and a time to kill, and a time to heal, and a time to tear down, and a time to build up, and a time to weep, and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. And a time to embrace, and a time to refrain, and a time to search, and a time to give up, and a time to keep, and a time to throw away, and a time to tear, and a time to mend, and a time to be silent, and a time to speak, and a time to love, and a time to hate, and a time for war, and a time for peace. It's life. So on this National Tort Day, Coconut Tort Day, I'm processing the layers of life and how sweet or how bitter or how soft or how hard those layers of life are. And so maybe you want to spend a little time and you know those layers because you're in some of those layers right now. And it's not a sweet layer, you're in a bitter layer. You're not in a soft layer, you're in a hard, crunchy layer of life. And just, can we just not pretend we're okay? Can we just not pretend we're okay? We are some of the best liars in the world. When somebody says, how you doing? I'm good. No, you ain't. Because I'm in a layer of life that stinks. And maybe the Lord help me see you in the layer of life that I am in. Because the D31-8 truth is that God's in that layer with you. Are you with me this morning? I'm almost done. We're like 6/8 of the way there. Whatever layer you're in, if no one else is in that layer with you, God is in that layer with you. If no one else is in that layer, God is. And God, I don't know if I want you to move me out of this layer because I don't know. I need to go through this layer, I know. But God, I need you with me. And so on this day, Lord, help me see you in this layer of life. Today is also, this is the last one, 7/7. We're at 7/7. This is National Earmuff Day. Anybody know who Chester Greenwood is? Chester Greenwood. Chester Greenwood grew up in a town in Farmington, Maine. He always looked forward to the winter days and ice skating with his friends and family 100 years ago. And apparently Chester had ears that were way too big. They were abnormally large. And not only that, he was allergic to wool. So he was allergic to wool and he had large ears and so they were prone to frostbite. And so he went home and he fashioned this wire and he asked his gram if she could sew some felt on the end of the wire. And she sewed some felt on the end of the wire and he stuck them over his head and kept his ears warm. Isn't that neat? And Chester went on to start a factory where he employed 60 employees. And even though he had machines, at the honor of his grandmother, he hired more people so they could hand sew the muffs for their ears. Do you know that he made ear muffs for the soldiers in World War I? 60 years his factory produced ear muffs to keep people's ears warm. You know why? Because Chester had big ears. Because Chester was allergic to wool. And because Chester got his ears frostbit over and over and over. And I find it interesting that he took something that he could not change and he allowed it to change the world for the good. And I find it interesting that God creates us in a very certain way, in a very certain pattern. And look at this, Psalm 139, I know you well. For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Why did Chester give bigger ears? I think God gave him bigger ears because he knew he was a man that wasn't going to be pushed down. He was a man who was going to invent earmuffs. Why did he give him an allergicness to wool? Because he wasn't going to wear a hat, because God had a plan for his life. And if he didn't have big ears, if he hadn't experienced frostbite, if he hadn't been in Maine, and if he hadn't been allergic to wool, he would not have produced earmuffs to wear underneath the helmets of the World War I veterans to keep their ears warm and their heads safe, because they had a bulletproofness on the top of their head and their ears were safe. Whew. Why did God create me this way? Ask God. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The works of your are wonderful. The works of your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So on this National Earmuff Day, you're not too short and you're not too tall. Your voice isn't funny compared to someone. Who cares? Just so you know, God knitted you together. If you have light skin, it's because God chose you to have light skin. If you have dark skin, it's because God chose you to have dark skin. If you are a girl, it's because God chose you that you are a girl. Don't let the world tell you different. They didn't make you. God made you. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. And if you're a boy, you're a boy because God chose you to be a boy. And if you got red hair, or if you got brown hair, if you got no hair, it's because that's the way God chose you to be made. So maybe on this day, we're going to start spending time with God, saying, I don't care what this world says about me. I am not too strong or too weak. I am not too tall or too short. I am a girl. I am a boy. Because I am crafted by God. I don't, whether I got an allergic reaction or whether I'm an introvert or I'm an extrovert, God created you that way for a purpose. And maybe we're going to spend some time today just saying, Lord, thank you for making me me. Help me see my purpose. We celebrate your birthdays. Do we ever really just celebrate our birth? Do you know who you are? Seven-sevenths of the sermon is over. Seven different sermons in one. Well, what are you going to do with this day? Because remember, Psalm 118 says this. This is a day that the Lord has made. Will you get off your duff and be glad about it? Will you rejoice? Will you get brightened up a little bit? O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. I sat with my Hebrew rabbi this week. He's not Jewish and he's not a rabbi, but he's the closest I got. And I said, I'm going to preach from, he said, what are you preaching from this week? And I said, I'm preaching from this. And he opened up his Bible. I said, read it to me in Hebrew. And he read it to me in Hebrew. I have no idea what he was saying. But boy, did it sound good. It was amazing. And he says, and he come to the word, and I knew that it said success. He said, I would translate that word. He said it out loud again in Hebrew, and he said, I would translate that word gush. So, Lord, grant us a gush on this day. Isn't that beautiful? It's not just success. It's a gush on this day. Grant Samuel, right? May the Lord grant you a gush this day. Wow. A gush this day, Tyler. Elmer, a gush this day. Bill, a gush this day. Because this is a day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
Stand with me today. Father, I personally am thankful that March 13th, 2022 is here. I'm personally thankful that I've got another 12 hours of this day. And Lord, I gotta admit, sometimes I'm wishing the day would get by quickly. Lord, forgive me for that. Because I don't want to miss one abundant outpouring of your love on my life and on our lives. I don't want to forfeit one gush over this body of people. So, Father, I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sure if we just need to spend time with you in the layers of life. Or I'm not sure if we need to have eyes to see someone else that's in need today. I'm not sure if we need to just stop blaming someone else and receive a healing from you. And I'm not sure that we just need to lean into who we are, because you've created us maybe with big ears and allergic reaction to wool and born in Maine. So that one guy could create something that will help millions. And maybe we just need to step outside today and say, God, thank you for creation. Thank you for my dog and thank you for my cat. Thank you for all the life that they bring into me. Thank you for how I care for them, but they care for me. Lord, whatever this day, it's a day that you have made, and I'm thankful for it. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, gush on this crowd of people. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.